Listeners to Sounding Out's podcast series, an oral chronicle of sounding culture. Sounding Out remixes the everyday with theory, insight, and practice. To learn more, please visit us on the web at www.soundstudiesblog.com. Until then, stay tuned for today's episode.
Hello, everyone. My name is Leanna Sillaford, and I am the managing editor for Sounding Out, a blog about sound studies. And today we have a very special podcast. We have some of the writers from our Sonic Beyonce Forum and some other folks who also write and think about all matters Beyonce here to talk a little more about Beyonce's sound and just to discuss all things Queen Bey. So we're going to do that. And first of all, I want our guests to introduce themselves so that way our listeners know who's here and what they're doing. So, Cardi, you want to start out first?
Oh, did you say Courtney?
Yeah.
Oh, great. hi. So I'm Courtney Marshall, and I am an assistant professor of English and Women's Studies up here at the University of New Hampshire. You want to know just a little about ourselves and our relationship to
Courtney
or anything else?
Yeah, anything else you want to share?
Oh, okay. My work is mostly in prison studies, so I spend a lot of time thinking about prison and African-American women, and I have the distinct honor of sharing a birthday with Beyonce. So we were both born on September 4th, and I make it a very, very big deal around here for September 4th, and I own a few Beyonce-related t-shirts that I love, and I love her, and she has totally changed my life. I love her.
I love it.
Awesome.
All hail.
Priscilla, you want to go next?
Yeah, my name is Priscilla Ovaya. I am an associate professor and associate director of the Cinema Studies program at the University of Oregon. My specialty is film and television, specifically mainstream pop culture in the United States. I look at Latinas in Hollywood and the intersection, I guess I look at racialized spectrums and the sort of Latina body in relation to the Black body and to the white body as depicted on screens. And my sort of, one of the areas of interest that I have is music videos and MTV as an institution and sort of as like television, the like id of television. And so my real, I mean, I love Beyonce, and with this album, I have a real strong, an enriched understanding of her work. But I really come to her as somebody who's been watching her music videos, right? Like, so when I engage her as a performer, a lot of my scholarship is on dance. So I'm thinking about her and her relationship, the relationship between dance and music and the visual representation of those things. So that's kind of how I'm coming to this conversation. But it's, you know, it's great to listen and you too. So I'm excited to hear what everybody has to say.
Awesome. And how about you, Kevin? Our first writer for the series who kicked it off with an awesome post.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, hi, everyone. My name is Kevin Allred. Right now I'm a visiting professor at Rutgers in Newark, Rutgers University. And I also teach in New Brunswick as well at Rutgers and in women's and gender studies. Of course, I'm a huge Beyonce fan, but I have also created an entire class called Politicizing Beyonce, which I teach
Awesome.
At both of those places right now. And we put her music in conversation with historical and contemporary Black feminist texts and kind of, you know, get the students to think about the connections, the maybe contradictions, all kinds of stuff. We just talk Beyonce and Black feminism all day, and it's pretty amazing.
It's amazing you get paid for that.
I know. Still waiting to find out that someone's not, you know, gonna pay me anymore for it, but it hasn't happened.
Oh. Well, that gets me thinking about the first question I had, which was, when y'all got your invite, how did that feel? Your initial reactions to, you know, getting the invite for the forum or for the podcast, when you thought, wow, I get the chance to write about Beyonce. what was your initial reaction?
Excitement.
Is this something that y'all had been thinking about, like, say, with you, Priscilla? Is this something you had been thinking about her videos or writing about her videos? Had you written about her videos before?
I had been thinking about her videos. So I would say that my personal feeling in thinking about doing this was excitement, because it was like, I have so much to say. And then also a little concern, because so much is being said. And, you know, I was like, what can I really contribute to the conversation? And I have to say, like, I was like, no, I have something. But this album specifically, this visual album, really took people by, took hold of people, so that there was no lag in commentary on, you know, people were constantly finding something new to say about it. And so I think for me, it was a lot of excitement and just like concern that I was going to be able to contribute something meaningful, right, to the Beyonce conversation. But I had been looking at her videos, again, as somebody who's really interested in dance performance and racial representation and racialized representations of women. I was really fascinated by her. And then just also thinking about her as somebody who's, you know, she's a mogul. She's somebody who definitely knows the industry, and she's working it. So I was really appreciative of an opportunity to just think about it and think hard on it and kind of bring all the things that I had been thinking about together. And the hard part's been getting it down to under 1,500 words.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because that was my initial reaction when Jenny asked me to be a part of the forum. I thought, wow, this is my chance to actually, you know, put down something and share it. And the amount of stuff being said, because she's a contemporary figure and because she's, you know, the album just came out, or her latest album just came out in December, and then it seemed like it would die down a little bit, and then she had the concert with Jay-Z, she had the tour, and then that kind of died down a little bit, and then boom, the VMAs. And so it's like there is a lot being said about Beyonce on a regular basis. And so, yeah, it can be a little scary stepping into the conversation.
Yeah, it's hard to say anything new. Well, it feels hard to say anything new. So I kind of agree with Priscilla. You're really excited to write about her. And then you're like, oh, but what can I write? Everybody's writing about it. And it's exciting to, I mean, I talk about this with students in class most days a week, so it was exciting to kind of put down one of those conversations we have that, you know, and share it with people that aren't able to be in the classroom. That was exciting for me, yeah.
Go ahead. Kevin, I was wondering, now that you bring up the class, do students feel that overwhelming, that sense of being overwhelmed, like, wow, where do I even start? Because, you know, they could be reading stuff for class, and then tomorrow this great post shows up in Salon or something like that, and they're like, wow, we were just talking about this yesterday, and now this article comes out, and now that just changes the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's always changing, which is fun and also kind of stressful, because, you know, you plan a lesson for the next day, and then you're like, oh, well, there it goes, because someone just wrote that on this blog tonight, and now we're done. But that's kind of why, so like when I assign all the writings, they don't have anything to do with Beyonce. So I kind of skirt the issue because all the writings are then put in conversation. So we can bring up that new post that came out and be like, hey, check that post out. They're writing about some of the same stuff we're talking about because, you know, it doesn't take away the impact, I guess, of the conversation. Because we'll read, you know, Angela Davis next to a Beyonce song and ask what they have in comparison with each other, rather than assigning all the writing about Beyonce, because I would just be overwhelmed trying to dig through everything and keep on top of everything all the time. Of course, I am doing that just so we know about it, but it would be so much to incorporate into the syllabus itself. So I've kind of taken an easy out by just saying, okay, we're not going to read about Beyonce, we're going to listen to her, and we're going to read about these Black feminist issues, and then we're just going to talk about them together versus reading about Beyonce all the time too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's important also to think about how reading what's out there, reading these other texts, but listening to Beyonce, so listening to the music, so that way it's not, these conversations are just happening in like some theoretical vacuum, right? They're having these conversations, they're actually listening to what's going on in the music and starting from the text, if you want to get really abstract, starting from the text, which is the audio.
Yeah, and so that they kind of feel like they're also, you know, on the ground level producing ideas about Beyonce too, rather than just reading ideas about Beyonce. And that seems, well, I feel like it seems exciting for them to be coming up with these ideas too, just based on two disparate, well, or not that disparate texts, a song and an article. And so they don't have to, they kind of feel like they're in on the process of as it's happening, culture's happening, we're thinking about it as it's happening.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Courtney, as someone who's a scholar, who's thinking about popular culture, but also is a fan of Beyonce, how do you deal with like the amount of stuff that's out there on a regular basis? You know, there's like a blog post every day or an article every day.
Always something. Well, it's funny to go back to your question about how I felt is I was worried that I was going to just like stand out for a whole hour and be like, oh my gosh, it's so super. And you know,
we will be doing that.
But it was really, so that's how I felt. I was like, okay, so like hold it together and, you know, chill. I'm really interested in, like, as I said, like Beyonce did change my life. Like I had a life changing experience at the front row of the Rebel concert. And so since then I've been really interested in how Beyonce is used in fitness communities and sort of how the women who often have a lot of body shaming talk around themselves. In the fitness classes I go to, the hip hop classes and the Zumba classes, sort of how, and I always say, well, Beyonce wants us to feel like we're all flawless and we all mm-hmm. look good. And so mm-hmm. I'm really sort of interested in how the music gets used in these other places and mm-hmm. aren't just on the iPod, but how sort of communities and ideas about beauty get sort of worked out in her music and also what's the sort of the distance that has to be traveled between like being in a fitness community in order to somehow change your body, but then also having this woman who's singing about being bootylicious at the same time. So can you do both at the same time? And so that's been really, really key for me in thinking about how Beyonce is used as this sort of complicated figure of empowerment. I mean, and people argue about whether she's feminist or not. And I'm like, okay, fine. That's a great conversation, but I'm more sort of struck in how people use her music to feel a sense of empowerment around, particularly women, empowerment around their bodies.
Yeah, around their own bodies, which is pretty amazing, right? Like right. There's this sort of connection that they're feeling with the music and their body and the moment.
Right, and that she's beautiful and she's, you know, she does all this, but she wants everyone to feel that way. You know, she's like, you know, ladies, like tell them, you know, you woke up like this. So I think that to me is really cool. And also what you're talking about with the blog post, I was just watching the first episode of Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. And what's striking to me too about her is you can have a lot of information about celebrities, but we don't get a lot of information about her. There's people talking about her, but I also think it's really fascinating the way she controls so much of what we know about her and about her daughter. And that to me is really fascinating, because in this time where it seems like we know everything about everybody, this who's like this huge star, like I don't really know that much about her, but still, yeah. You know, we want to know more. So that's also really interesting to me.
No, that is amazing, especially in an era where I feel like a lot of celebrities have tried to take control of those narratives about themselves. So there might be the paparazzi and there might be all of these magazine articles or Page Six or whatever. And I feel like a lot of celebrities, either through Twitter or through Instagram or sometimes Facebook posts, they try to take control of that narrative, whether they're making a big announcement or they get in some Twitter feud. I'm thinking, you know, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, you know, they get in some Twitter feud online, or, you know, they have these long Instagram posts. And so they try to control that. And it's interesting how Beyonce and, well, the Beyonce, Jay-Z, and Blue Ivy, how they have closed people off. But then I'm also thinking about the On the Run tour, and how, you know, it's Jay-Z, Beyonce, they're singing, and so the songs, so it may seem like the concert is a narrative of their relationship, so they have all these songs, they're going back and forth, and they're singing Drunken Love together, things like that, and then the concert ends with a short video of their family, of them, like when she was pregnant, and everybody's freaking out in the concert because they're all thinking, right. Like, oh my God, Beyonce's pregnant, and she's showing these pictures. And then it's like, right after giving birth, she has a short clip of her holding Blue Ivy, and we're all panicking because, like, oh my God, we get to see Blue Ivy right after she was born. But then they're very deliberate. And so long story short, I'm thinking about how she is definitely very in control of the visual, right? So going from what she posts online to what she talks or doesn't talk about to the picture she decides to show to the visual album, right? And how there's this album drop in December and everybody's like taken by surprise, and it's like a full blown video. And there's a video and audio album, you know, so it all kind of comes together. And I think that's interesting that she doesn't just want to control the sound, but also what it looks like.
Well, I mean, just one of the hard parts of getting the blog post together for Sounding Out was that I found, like, I had three different places I wanted to go, and I had to select one and bring it down to you know, to kind of keep it focused. But one thing I got incredibly interested in, it's taken off on its own, is really being interested in the Beyonce archive, right? The fact that she literally has an archive of all of her materials that she's
really
been collecting. Yeah, it's
wow.
Like it's like 2011, I think. It's, she's been, like, there was, like, ads for a librarian to come, like, an archivist to come, and it's, like, I can't remember how many terabyte archive, but she's got this collection of her own material that she's been developing and building. There was a GQ cover story on it. I mean, some really interesting stuff. And to think about somebody so in control of their material and their understanding of themselves as a performer who is a commodity. I mean, it's just really fascinating how much is going into that. And I can't help but imagine and think about all the ways that her sense of herself as an archive has informed the work that we see and hear in Beyonce, right? Where there is, you know, she's kind of utilizing her past and bringing it into the sound and into the image of the album. And I don't wonder which came first, because I know the idea for the archive happened much earlier, but I wonder how much of this album was really built around this idea that she has a sense of herself as a thing that has existed in these multiple facets, and her ability to really sense her position her cultural position as a Black woman who is, you know, fucking running shit. You know, she's doing it in the music industry and, you know, in corporate sponsorships. I mean, she really has a stronghold that is quite powerful and pretty unique. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what, you know, what comes with that.
And it that gets me thinking also about how going back to what Courtney was saying about the fitness communities, how that translates into, you know, how people connect to her. You know, the fact that she's, you know, she has a sense of herself as an archive, but she also has a sense of herself as an artist. She has a sense of herself as a woman, and so that translates into the music. And I think that's one of the really cool things about the music that nowadays, she's one of the artists that's really inspiring women and men to really embrace things about themselves, right? And it's funny, you were mentioning the fitness communities, Courtney, and I remember a few months back I saw, because I'm out here in Houston, right? And so Beyonce is a big deal in Houston. And, you know, this was just an understatement, but they had something on the news about how there were several gyms and dance studios in Houston where they were using Beyonce's music. So that's their selling point, right? That there's Beyonce's music and wow, they really embraced Beyonce's message. And so people were going, and that's what they were into. You know, they wanted to go not just to work out, but also to share that to be part of that community, people who are really inspired and motivated by Beyonce. And this was right after, it was shortly after the visual album dropped. So I think it's fascinating.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is fascinating. I remember I take a bar class, and I take a lot of dance fitness classes. And so my teacher, Alex, she, who's also a very good buddy, like one day I don't know if I was the only person who showed up, but we did like an all Beyonce playlist. And when we went to see, well, we've seen On the Run together, and we've seen Mrs. Carter, and like she put together like a Jay-Z and Beyonce playlist for hip hop, like that, right, like the day before we were going to the concert. So like that was a lot of fun. And also it made me think of this last weekend on the, I guess this would have been the Sunday after our birthday. It was a Beyonce brunch in Boston at Back Bay Harry's. And it was all Beyonce themed, you know, food, and it was supposed to be like this really big Beyonce related thing. So again, like, it's so exciting the way that, like, you can listen to her music and you can watch the videos and stuff, but there's also all these other parts around being part of the Beehive, right? Like, so being a part of the Beehive requires like a lot of work. But there are all these other ways that, you know, we are invited to celebrate her. Even like, you know, her birthday messages, like on Instagram, like we're all supposed to, like, you know, all hail, you know, the queen, and, you know, just sort of be happy and in community with one another, all loving her. It is very much like a Beehive, I guess. You know, like, in that way.
I had a friend who actually went to the Beyonce brunch in Boston, and she was posting pictures on Facebook, and it like had the whole red carpet in front. There was like the whole experience. I think there was even like a cutout of Beyonce you could take pictures with. Wow. And she posted the book too. The song titles were worked into food.
Like Blue Ivy, French Toast.
Yeah, it was just crazy.
I love it, and it's, I'm wondering how much of that sense of, you know, that sense of community, of being part of the Beehive, I wonder if it comes from the music, or is it also part of the visuals, right? The what we see on stage, what we see in the videos. I wonder how much of that is, you know, the sound, the Beyonce sound or the Beyonce music versus what you see on stage or how she presents herself on stage.
Well, I'm really interested in knowing more about Courtney's life-changing experience, because I'm not somebody who goes to concerts. I'm definitely somebody who likes to see the package, right? I like to see the video. I like to see, coming from my background, right, that's really interesting to me, is to see the way that they've composed themselves through shots and cuts and choreography, right, in the music video, for example. And so to think about like the concert space as something that has its own life, I mean, I'm really fascinated by that. I don't know if that's something that you're going to be addressing in your post, Courtney, but what was that life-changing experience? What did you see or feel that kind of, you know, did it for you?
Do you want to share, Courtney?
Oh, sure, I'm happy. I'll make it quick, because I really can go on and on all day about this, because I really want to meet her and tell her how great she is. So I went to Revel, and it was just a random, I was like, oh, maybe I'll go down, because everybody was talking about it. I think also part of the Beehive is all the bloggers and the YouTubers who love Beyonce, who, you know, go to the concerts and they put the clips on YouTube and everything. So at the last minute, I decided to go down to New Jersey, where I'm from. So I'm from Newark, so shout out to Scarlet Knight. Oh, yeah. And I went to Rutgers, I went to Douglas, so whatever. And so I went there just to the spur of the moment thing. I spent like $500 or $600 on a ticket, and I got there and it turns out I was in the front row. And I was like, what? Like, so that was ridiculous. And this was my first Beyonce concert ever. And she came out and she did End of Time, which, you know, slayed my life. But what was so inspiring was she was dancing and singing for 2 hours. And I said, because I had been thinking about exercising, and I said, I want to be able to sing and dance for 2 hours. I said, that is my goal. And I watched her, and the next day I went to the gym. And since then, I've lost like 150 pounds, like just dealing, just Beyonce. Wow. Like she... just seeing her moving on stage, and I don't wear heels, but just seeing her do that and really hearing her messages about beauty and about the beauty of all types of bodies, like it really like struck something in me, and it really did change the way I thought about exercise, the way I thought about dancing. So like from then I started taking hip hop dance. I'm now in tap dance. So it's really something that has, I mean, it really was a great experience for me. So, and that's why I'm really excited when I'm in classes and people and women come in and they'll say, oh, I can't do hip hop class because I can't dance, or I can't do whatever, I don't look like Beyonce. And I was like, well, Beyonce wouldn't want us to be in here feeling bad. Like, she mm-hmm. wants us to make it look good. So, you know, and throw our hair, even though I have
hair. You know?
Well, I mean, that was my experience really did change my life.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. I mean, the reason your question is so provocative, right? That question of like the sound of Beyonce or the image of Beyonce and like how people are rallying. I'm thinking about the concert moment as something like you were literally moved from, I mean, like, because there's the pulse of the you know, the bass from this music, and it's like in the front row, you're feeling that, right? Like you're seriously feeling that, and you're watching it. And you're watching her movements, and there's that connection that we're seeing and feeling, right, because of what we're hearing and because of what we're seeing. And that's something that interests me in the music video, where, you know, because of editing and all these other things, you hear and you feel and you see simultaneously. There's this kinetic response that's happening there. But you had it front row. And, I mean, I think that's what's so powerful about somebody like Beyonce, is that she's really giving us all those sensual elements at once. And so I think it's one of the things that just occurred to me now, where when people are critiquing her for, you know, being overly sexualized or, you know, sexualizing herself or whatever. I mean, if we think about her as somebody who is a sensual performer, right, in the sound and in the image and in the texture of, like, her movements are so, like, she rubs, you know, like in the music video when she touches her skin or she whips her hair. I mean, all those things are playing on our own senses. And it's just like, of course she's like, even if she wore, you know, like covered head to toe, she would be like, we would feel something for her, sensual or sexual, like because she's tapping into our senses. It's really, I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I love that idea of these sensual elements coming together at once. And it connects to that album, right? So that way it's almost like her self-titled album. It's not just an album, it's like a whole experience. I mean, the concerts themselves are an experience, but the album is kind of like that too, right? Because it's you're getting different things at the same time, and you're in and it's arousing different parts of you, and it's you know, the sound is working on one level and the visuals are working on another. And I that's a really interesting idea, how these sensual elements, or how I don't know, how Beyonce gets you in touch with all of these sensual elements.
Yeah, the perfume, right? So you're at the concert and she's got the perfume. And it is funny hearing you talk about that, because it really is, for the concert, at least me as a concert goer, the excitement starts when you hear there's a pre-sale. So when you hear about there's dates, then you hear there's a pre-sale, so everything has to stop that day, and you can't go anywhere, just need to be on Ticketmaster, and then you're fighting. So it's like this flurry of activity that happens way before you even get to the concert. Mm-hmm. And even talking about the album, like, everybody has a story about where they were when they found out about the album, and what they were doing and how it changed their lives forever. So it is interesting, you're right, all these different senses that come into the Beyonce experience.
Yeah, and that's all foreplay, right? Like, that's not even the main event. It's all like, is it going to happen? It's happening now. Oh, my God, you know.
Right, like,
it's going to happen in a few hours.
Who has Amex? You're trying to figure out who has what?
I think Madison Moore writes about that, right, in his ebook about how to be Beyonce, like, you know, the experience of, like, having to put things on hold because he had to go and, you know, buy the pre-sale and stuff. So, I mean, because I'm really curious about how the wonderful panel that Sounding Out's really put together. So I'm sorry if I'm asking so many questions, but I wanted to know if Kevin could speak a little bit about, like, the experiences of your students who are doing, you know, who are, like, doing, you're bringing them together, right? They're getting to incubate these ideas where they're bringing these two things together. And are you listening? Do you sometimes watch videos as well? Like, what are their thoughts? Do they have a separation for Beyonce in terms of sound and image?
Well, we absolutely bring the videos and the, lyrics of the songs into the classroom. So every session, either one song or a couple songs is paired with a reading or a couple readings, like I said. And usually we just start out in the space together with watching a music video for the song or one of the songs that's assigned, and kind of, you know, we just start out the class with, okay, what are your reactions to that? What does it make you feel? What does it make you think? What does it make you want to say? And then we kind of move into how do the readings complement it, contradict it, whatever. But we really do start out with that kind of initial response, because people do. They'll burst out into applause after we watch a music video. I've had students kind of get teary-eyed saying, I just can't believe there's a classroom space where we can talk about this in an intellectual way, and, wow, you know, I feel so blessed to be here, which I'm like, whoa. I feel the same way, kind of, but no, I don't let them know that, although maybe they'll listen to this now and know
cool,
that I feel that.
Cool.
We actually, this summer, I had students, and I was lucky enough, Beyonce's publicity team gave us all free tickets to go see On the Run.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. So we all got to kind of go to the show together. Wow. And experience and talk about it. And because her show's really, I mean, there's the music videos, but her shows really are also like another music video for the songs. Mm-hmm. She does do such elaborate performances to each or even just snippet of a song that she does, so it's like a whole other thing to analyze in the whole story of a song and the kind of evolution of a song, video, lyric, all the different kind of things she fuses together, which is just so it just boggles my mind how many layers you can find in her music. It's so unique. I just can't think of another artist today or any day that has so many multiple layers and meanings and things that you can dig out. And the students feel that too. They're just so, they don't have words. And I also find that we were talking about, like, the fitness community and all of that, and women being empowered. But I also, in my classes, like, LGBT, queer communities and students have such reaction, like, such positive reactions to Beyoncé and her music, and the way that they feel included and empowered as well is really, I think, just beyond, because people are so, and it's not that she's out there saying, you know, LGBT rights and this and that and fighting on that kind of, although, you know, I assume she does believe in all of these things, but it's just something about the music, the feel, the sensuality, the whatever it is, that they feel so empowered and so okay to be themselves, that is so great, I think.
Okay, so no, I was thinking about how powerful it is to not just have a space for these discussions, but also a space to be a scholar and a fan. Like, how many times, there are very few times where I've been able to do that in grad school, right? Or as an undergrad, where I could say, wow, I come to this classroom and I'm like super excited about, I don't know, Edgar Allan Poe. Like, no, we come to class to talk about Edgar Allan Poe, you know, objectively. Let's talk about his work. Let's talk about, and so this is, I think it's awesome that there's a space to be intellectuals, but also be fans. So back to my original question, I was wondering if a lot of them come in as fans, that they come to the class for that.
Yeah, I get a lot of, mostly, it's big fans already, and they're just excited to talk about it and see what the class is about. I'll get a handful of people every semester that say, oh, you know, I know her music, of course, who doesn't? You can't live today and not know some of her songs, at least. And say, well, I'm interested in, you know, the Black feminist side, and I'm interested how she's going to be put in conversation with that or put in that history. Aww. Or I just wanted to take a class that was a little, I mean, that's about something that is more pop cultural relevant to my life or whatever. So by the end of the semester, even those, the handful of kids usually will become bigger fans because they'll see that there is actually more to it than just, you know, your next pop song on the radio. There's like, oh wow, there's so much here to think about and to analyze, whether it's just in the lyrics, whether you add the video, whether it's watching the documentary about what she shares with the world, and, you know, all of this. And they get a bigger respect for her, I think. If they didn't start out as a fan to begin with, they get much more respect for Beyoncé over the course of the semester.
Wow, that's awesome. It's like they spread the gospel of Beyoncé. Spreading the gospel.
They say she's a church.
Yes, the church of Beyoncé. I'm sorry, Priscilla, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, I was just wondering if they were ever resistant. I mean, because that's hard, right? Sometimes, you know, sometimes when you take something so popular or something so beloved, right, and you try to have a more intellectual conversation about it, there's just like a pushback. Like, people don't want to think about that all the time, you know? Have you noticed some places where they get stickier, like that are stickier than others in terms of like having those conversations?
There's been a few, like, well, I just don't, you know, I think you're reading too much into this kind of idea. And certainly with, I used to use, before I taught this whole class, I just used to use Beyoncé on a day or two in an intro level class or whatever. And I would certainly get more resistance from those students that hadn't already kind of embraced the idea that you could use this in a more intellectual way. And I actually would get the most resistance from when I would assign an article that was actually analyzing Beyoncé, Daphne Brooks, and kind of reading the B-Day album, that talked about how we could read it as a response to Hurricane Katrina, or politically as this kind of re-representation of Black women after Hurricane Katrina has happened. And they were like, no, we cannot, this is too much. This is just a song, you know, Deja Vu is just a little song to dance to. And I'm like, but we have to look at all the images that she's putting out. We have to use the evidence in the article that Daphne Brooks is saying, you know. And that was interesting, that I found it when someone was literally trying to point out exactly the political messages of the song, they were more resistant than when, I guess, they are kind of urged to think about them themselves and maybe come up with another reading or a deeper reading. So maybe it's just like, I don't want you to tell me what to do kind of thing. Because I found when I take out any reading about Beyonce, they're much more, they more easily go to the reading and say, oh, it's just like Bell Hooks said in that article, or it's just like da 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 da.
Oh, fascinating.
And then they bring it up themselves. So I don't know. Maybe it's just the way they want to be taught or the way they want to think about it. But I'm getting less and less resistance, you know, the more I teach it.
Wow. They want to draw their own conclusions.
Yeah.
Like they want to be able to make those analyses themselves.
Yeah.
Wow, it's fascinating.
It is, yeah.
Well, one thing that I feel like we've touched upon but we haven't delved into is talking about the visual album, and one thing that I was talking to Jennifer about offline was how this album comes out, right, and blows us all away, and it's interesting to me that it comes about in, I call it post MTV era, but I'm not even sure about that. But you know, when we think of MTV and VH1, we think of it in terms of the music videos, and you know, now both MTV and VH1 are totally different. But you know, back in the day, MTV and VH1 were all about the music videos. So even though now you can go to YouTube and you can watch videos, it's not like, I feel like it's changed, right? People don't just turn on MTV to watch videos. But yet here comes Beyonce and she has like a video for every song. And I was wondering what was your reaction to having all of these videos out at once? Did you watch them all at once? Did you watch them? Because I watched a handful, or I would watch them in order of, oh, I want to see the video to this song. And I was wondering how you folks, how did you feel about that, about this big album in an era where people don't really watch videos anymore?
I was super psyched. I'll just say that. I mean, I have things to say about it, but I'll wait. I don't want to hog the Skype mic.
I was completely overwhelmed because Scandal had just gone off. So I was already a mess with Scandal. And then I was online, like, laughing about Scandal. And then, like, B. Scott, there was something on Facebook, and B. Scott said something about Beyonce. I was like, what? And I just remember, like, jumping up and being like, you know, what's going on? And this is so much. But I just remember just being just sort of overwhelmed with all the blessings and everything. And I remember just feeling like those game shows where people are like running through the supermarket grabbing stuff. I couldn't like focus on any one song because I'd have to, and I kept switching like what was my favorite song. So that was my initial thing. Like I couldn't, I guess she wanted us to sit down and listen to it like we had some sense and like in a nice song. But I totally wasn't. So I don't know if her experiment worked well on me, because I was just always.
That was my exact same. I, you know, flipping, watching 30 seconds of one video, and then I was too excited. I needed to know what about. And then like the next day or days later, I of course sat and watched them because I knew I was going to have to talk about it for class, because then I'm going to have to incorporate all of this stuff into the syllabus and like what is the story from start to finish. But I was too excited. I couldn't do it for a few
days.
Were
you teaching it like that next semester? Or is it, you know, did you have to like figure out how to do the album?
I was scheduled to teach it for that summer. Mm. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to have to, well, I have to rewrite the syllabus clearly because this just happened, which is fine with me. But like, I was excited because also the videos are where I go to in class. So I was like, oh my God, this is going to be this huge new kind of archive of stuff to look at. And I couldn't even process. I have to listen to it like a fan and like freak out about it first before I can like be intellectual about it and plan for the class. So I spent a couple of days just freaking out. Yeah.
Get it out of your system.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this might be like one of those dividing points, because I was somebody who I heard about it, right? But I think I'm somebody who's appreciated her work and like really appreciates her artistry and all these like so on so many levels. But I think as I must not be a fan in that sense, because I found out about it as the world did, right? Like, what? She did what? But it was when I found out that it was like an album of music videos, I was like, okay, I'm downloading that right now. Like, as soon as I found that, I was like, holy shit, I need to see and I need to hear, I need that, you know? Yeah. And so then, and I did sit down and I didn't, you know, it's, I can't remember, an hour, 40 minutes. It's like, it's long, right? So you gotta sit down. It's a commitment. So I had to watch it in chunks, but yeah, I mean, I did sit down and I did watch it pretty much. I watched it through and then like I got to halfway point and then I kept watching the ones I liked again and again. And then I had to go back and watch the second half. I mean, I'm not going to lie how many times Partition has like been played on my, you know, on my queue. It's like Partition like 50 times. Yeah, so I think for me that was like, it was really the fact that she was playing with the form. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about her, and much more so now, is that she's a collaborator in this incredible sense, right? In a way that I think doesn't get talked about as often as maybe it should. She is somebody who's clearly, she is the focal point. She is the engineer, because she's the continuous element in all the way through the album, right? It's an orbit around Beyoncé, but she's bringing in all these satellite systems that are doing this work, right? And it's impeccable. It's a really amazing thing too. When you think about the production required at the sound level, when you think about the production required at the visual level, when you think about the production required at the corporate level to engineer this, I mean, like so many facets. I mean, I think it's a good sort of analogy for her as an entity at this point, is that. She was able to make that possible, and I find that really amazing. And to come back to something that you said, Kevin, about the pop as political and that resistance, I mean, I think that's one of the things that has been really interesting to watch unfold in the conversations about this album, is that people have a problem really being able to say something like Beyoncé is feminist because it's so entertaining. And it just blows my mind that, you know, we can't, you know, like to the point where she has to at the VMAs come out with the word feminist behind her silhouette so that people can get it through their brains. You know, like what more do you need to hear from somebody than them saying I am a feminist for you to take them as a feminist? It's really just, it's fascinating to me.
Well, and it's also this idea that you can't take popular culture seriously. You know, this notion that, well, if it's pop culture, it's quote unquote tainted, right? That, oh no, you can't really take that seriously because it's commercial or because it's this or that. And I think it's important to consider it as political, you know. And then also the whole thing about, is Beyoncé a feminist? Is she not a feminist? That's a whole big conversation. But for my post, I'm really interested in the idea that, you know, there's been a lot of focus on that visual, right? Like, especially after the VMAs, there was that screen grab of Beyoncé with the word feminist in the back, and it just made made the rounds. And that was really, really, you know, that image really stands out. But I'm also, what I've been thinking about for my posts is, you know, how is that also playing out in the sound? Like, how can we, I guess in the big question, and I'm not sure I have an answer to yet, I guess my big question for my post is what does feminism sound like, right? So if you're thinking about Beyoncé and you're thinking of Flawless and you're thinking about this conversation, so what does that actually sound like? And I think it's interesting that those conversations are still playing out. Conversations about, well, we can't really take this seriously, or, you know, we, like Kevin, you mentioned that resistance to, well, you know, I don't want to think about this too much, or you're thinking about this too much, which I'm, you know, I heard plenty as I was growing up, and I ended up being a grad student, so that tells you all you need to know. I have one last question, and we could go from here. I want to know what's your favorite Beyonce track. I want y'all to share with me. What's your, or what are some of your favorites
from this album?
If you,
you mean, like, you mean Beyonce like in italics or Beyonce in like, which
Beyonce? I was thinking Beyonce sans italics, but you could also do the album. Yeah.
That's a.
Am I gonna put you in a tough spot, Kevin?
No, people ask me all the time, and I usually give a different answer to everyone that asks me because it changes from like day to day.
I love it. Yes.
There's so many.
What's your sounding out answer?
I mean, right now I really love "Scared of Lonely," which is an old one from I Am Sasha Fierce, and I love "Jealous" on the new album. Well, No Angel, too, because I wrote about that one, so I have to plug that one, too. But Jealous, I think, is just so, and the video, too, is just so interesting as a statement that kind of is, on the video at least, the other half of Partition, because they kind of have the same film story in them, because they're both at that mansion. They both start at that mansion sitting at that table, and so it's really, though that one's really interesting for me, so I'll say Jealous today.
Wow. You know, just to backtrack, you said when you talked about like what does feminism sound like, and it also just struck me that it's Beyonce is not just about her, but it's about her band and it's about her dancers. And so I think about BB McGill, who I follow on Facebook, and you know, and the Mamas, and on all these women playing all these different instruments all together. So I think that's a big part, at least for me, to what a feminist sound would be like, these women coming together, you know, on drums and all stuff to make this music. I often say End of Time is my favorite, just because that was the first song I ever heard her sing in concert. She just has a way of opening a concert that just, like, whatever song opens the concert is my very favorite. So yeah, I love End of Time. And Yonce, just because, again, the video. The video for Yonce made me love Yonce. She's phenomenal. And I also, it's funny because I have to go to a Halloween party. And so I was like, I want to be Beyonce for Halloween. But then I was like, I need a couple other people to be different Beyoncés for Halloween. So I was telling Alex, I said, you know, we could really make this work. So actually today I'm gathering all these different online articles about how to be. So I think I want to be like pregnancy announcement Beyoncé with like the purple sparkly jacket. But yeah, like getting friends together to all be different Beyoncés. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So thinking about my costume is also making me think about what my favorite song is today.
So that way you can figure out which one you want to dress up as.
Exactly. And what choreography I want to showcase.
And my vocals. The signature move of important. That Beyonce.
Yes.
How about you, Priscilla?
Yeah, you know, well, I have to say that I'll stick to the visual album. And I love Partition, and I keep coming to that song, but the song that really hit me that I had to, like, I listened to a lot, and it, I just don't know, like, just something hit with me, was Haunted. Mm-hmm. And there was something, like, and actually, now that I have, you know, fans here, that one hit me, I think, so much, because it seemed so different. Like, sonically, it was like so different than I had heard her before. And there was something happening there that I just couldn't, like, it just did something and made me really appreciate what she was doing in a new way, between the lyric and the sound and the layers and the change up. I mean, like, all these different things just really had an effect that I couldn't, that stayed, that lingered, you know? How do y'all feel about that song? Is that something that, would you say in her catalog stands out, or is it?
I think it's a departure. A lot of the new songs, I think, are departures from a lot of the old stuff. And I always tell, in class, I always talk about thinking about Beyonce as performative rather than her performances. And so, like, I, to me, it makes sense that that song sticks with you. It haunts you. It stays with you. She's actually enacting this kind of haunting on you, for whatever reason. And the video is just, like, super freaky, crazy,
yeah.
weird.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about, yeah.
I tell my students, I'm like, if you want to be, it's, like, better than a whole season of American Horror Story. It's so weird to me. It, like, gives me nightmares, but in a good way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Beyonce nightmares.
Yeah, Beyonce. Which, still, like, dreams, because...
because Beyonce.
Well, that one's really interesting. I mean, also, because it's what one of the things I focus on in my post, it's one song, and this happens twice on the album, but it's one song that's two videos, right? So she's even playing with that idea. It's ghost and haunted. So she's, like, to take that performative idea, right? She's embodying the entity and the act, yeah. or the entity and the effect, I guess, right? Which is really, really fascinating. Anyway, so that's my answer. How about you, Liana?
Me, I'm in the same space as Kevin and Courtney. Like lately, well, when the visual album came out, I was really big on Superpower with the Frank Ocean track. I just love how it starts and their harmonies, and it's just really nice. But the last few months, I've been really feeling Mine with Drake, and yeah. I really I guess because it really hits home on different levels for me, and then just like, you know, the scholarship and personal just kind of coming all together, and it gets messy. But lately I've had that one on repeat, and it's just I love it. I love it a lot. And I love how she starts out and then it kind of slows down and then Drake comes in. And I mean, there's that line, all the fives need to listen when the Ted is talking. And I'm like, yes, that is my line. But yeah, that's the song that I've been listening to a lot. But from her more poppier songs, I'm a big fan of Check On It. Like, I could listen to that song all day. I have it on my iPod, and before On the Run, I too made a playlist because I needed to have all my favorite Beyonce and Jay-Z tracks, and that one was on it. And yeah, it's an old song, but I can't help it. Like, it comes on and I need to stop what I'm doing and I have to dance.
Yeah, Upgrade You was that for me for a while. It would had like my writing soundtrack, right? And then it would be like, yes. This is my writing music. And then like when this song comes on, that's when I get up and like, you know, have
we
a
need
break.
To stop what we're doing. Yeah, yes.
Kind of like, you know, stretch or whatever. Work it.
Do you end your class, Kevin, with a dance party? Because that would seem apropos.
I know I should, but I've never done that, but when I taught this summer and it was like 4 hours long because we have a short session, you know, so we would take a break and I would encourage people if they wanted to dance during the break that they could, you know, I'd put on some music, but nobody ever really took me up on it.
I mean, you know, you got to stand up and dance. they were probably, you know, trying to keep it cool.
I wanted to, they were just like, didn't want to be the first one to jump up.
You got to be the one to start that party.
Right.
Well, folks, this has been a lot of fun. I was wondering if there's anything else you want to wrap up with before we close it for today. Any other last thoughts on Beyonce?
I just want to thank Sounding Out. I mean, this is awesome.
Yeah,
this is a great opportunity.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Shout out to Vlog, thank you. We can't be awesome without y'all, so.
Now I want to go listen to some Beyonce. Now I want to put on like Freakum dress and like dance.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was just she makes me want to be a better person. Like, I leave And I think this is what I love so much about her, is her work ethic, at least from what we see about her work ethic and the amount of hard work she puts into everything. And it really comes across. And I always say, like, I leave her concert wanting to be, like, my best Beyonce. So, like, there are shirts that say, like, what would Beyonce do? Or I bought a shirt recently that says Beyonce wasn't built in a day. Because I think it's, like, the whole ethic to Beyonce, you know, that is about work and dedication to a craft. And I think that for me, that's what also sets her apart from a lot of other people. Like, you don't see her getting into petty beefs with each other. She just does her work and goes home and leaves the rest of them to, like they say, fight for second place. You know, that's just what she does.
She shows the labor, right? Which is, yeah, she doesn't show it here, but like you can see she doesn't pretend that it's effortless, right? Like she's serious. She, you know, critiques her own shows at the end of the night. I mean, it's like, it's insane. It's insane the amount of work that goes into it.
She makes you want to, like, just sit in front of your MacBook and make little videos about your feelings. So.
Big documentary.
I don't think HBO would buy my documentary.
You got to have a few dance tracks in there, Priscilla.
I think so, yeah. I got to do a lot more to get that kind of that kind of screen time.
I wonder, like, how, you know, with the visual album and the amount of success she has, like, how things will change for future artists. Like, is she, like, this defining moment? Like, we started talking about MTV and sort of thinking about the rise of the video star and thinking about, you know, the big, like, Michael Jackson videos. You had to get home to watch, you know, whatever video it was, and like how things will be different for newer artists who are sort of, and I feel bad, you know, I don't have any kids, but I feel bad for people who don't live in the age of Beyonce. Like I feel kind of bad for them that they are a part of this. But I'm really interested in sort of what new things will happen because she was here. Don't get me singing I Was Here.
I Was Here. I've got that one tattooed on my arm. See?
Oh, that is so I'm going to get Flawless tattooed on my arm for my birthday. I'm researching tattoo places now. I'm one of those people who do like Beyonce tattoos. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad to meet you. Yeah. This is great.
Oh my God. I got some work to do.
Oh my gosh. What about you, Kevin? Wrap it up.
Oh man, I can never wrap it up on Beyonce. I just keep going. So I'll just keep going next week in class. It'll just keep going. So I don't have any final thoughts because she is never over.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn. That's nice.
Well, I just wanted to say one last thing that Courtney reminded me of. I think it was over the summer, I got this tote bag, and it says on the front, you have just about this, you have the same amount of hours a day as Beyonce. And I love it. It's my favorite. It's like, yes, I do. Right. So that's my inspirational tone. You have the same amount of hours a day as Beyonce.
And if Beyonce wouldn't put up with it, I don't have to put up with it.
Yes. Well, and you know, we joke about it, but that's one of the things that really sticks to me about, you know, as Beyonce, as a fan, that's one of the things that sticks out to me, that I oftentimes find myself thinking just like that, like, Beyonce would put up with this. Come on now. Beyonce would not put up with this. And sometimes it gives me a little boost just to think about that. Like, yeah, Beyonce does not have time for this kind of trifling business. Mm-hmm. No. So yeah, I think that's one of my favorite things about Beyonce. And I'm glad to have discovered her, even though, or not discovered her, but I'm glad to have tuned into Beyonce as a grown woman. Because I think
she can do whatever she wants.
You know, one of the things that I like about her a lot is that even though she has fans of different ages, she seems like someone for our crowd. I like that. You know, for folks like us.
Yeah, she speaks to so many different people and so many different registers. I mean, it's pretty nuts.
Right. From the inauguration to the Super Bowl, you mm-hmm. know, to, you know, just random MTV, right?
She's yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Yep. And that, and
I want a wig now. I want a wig.
Wait, okay, so I do have a final thought. It's one thing I wanted to say, like, I desperately want to be in Houston where those Beyonce workout sessions are, because, like, all I want to do now, I like watch YouTube videos of people doing her choreography, and I'm like, I just want that. I want to go to a place and do that. Can somebody please do this so I can do that, you know? Yeah. And it's,
Houston,
yeah,
is where it happens. Yes.
That's cool. And please put in a good word in Houston for this Beyonce dance video game that I would love to have.
Oh, like, yeah.
Once in a while, I hear, like, oh, there's, like, going to be a Beyonce experience video game.
No,
like,
way.
Like the Michael Jackson experience. I would love that. So if anybody in Houston could do that, that would be great.
I would also love that.
Wow, that just blew me away, because I did not know that existed. So now I have
it
to do
this. It's, like, always, like, talk every so often about how great it would be.
I seriously believe that she hides out in Houston from time to time. Like, she just shows up. I seriously believe that. Well, thank you, folks. Thank you for taking the time, for hanging out, for laughing with us. It was great. And I'm a little sober.
Oh, yeah. We can just keep talking.
Well, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much, guys and gals, for making this happen.
Yes. Nice talking
to you. Yes. And thank you for taking the time. Really, this means a lot that you folks took time out of your schedule to hang out with us and chat all things Beyonce. Hopefully, this would be awesome if we could make it like a regular thing.
The annual Beyonce.
Annual, weekly.
Right.
Sorry, Dan.